Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman. There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well and haven't accidentally been exposed to a huge dose of gamma radiation. My name is Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea lair for a gentle half hour of polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake, and of course, a nice cup of tea. This week, Latimer had the rather splendid idea of hosting our afternoon tea in the air, on board the airship I won in a wager last month. A certain professor had the temerity to challenge me to a duel, a tea duel no less, and bet this airship that he would beat me. As his rich tea biscuit fell into his cup first, I won the wager. It's a rather splendid vessel, I think. Lots of brass and dials and things with bellows all over the place. I suspect the professor was a fan of H.G. Wells. Do sit down anywhere you like. These red leather padded seats are fantastically comfortable. We're currently flying over the Somerset Levels, I'm delighted to say, back in familiar terrain, and no teddy bearish natives in sight. If you look out of the window on the starboard side, you'll see Glastonbury Tor, and if you look out of the port window, you might see some pirates, but only if you're extraordinarily lucky.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but your guest is ready. A Mr. David Bradley.
Ah, marvellous. Let's see his calling card. David Bradley, Editor-in-Chief, SFX Magazine, purveyor of fine periodicals to the science fiction community. Marvellous, do show him in.
Yes, ma'am.
For those of you who don't know, Dave Bradley is the Editor-in-Chief of SFX Magazine and has edited over 100 issues of that venerable publication.
Mr. David Bradley, ma'am.
Hello, Dave. Do come and sit down. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Would you care for some tea?
I would love some tea, thank you.
I would normally pour, but there's a rather interesting mechanical butler I'm keen to try out that came with the airship. It's called MEL 1000. All you need to do is state how you take your tea into the mouthpiece just there.
Oh, wonderful. Just milk, please, a little milk. Do you read me, Mel?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
I'd like a cup of tea with just a little milk, please.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm so sorry, Dave. Mel, what's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What problem?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
Mission? It's just a cup of tea, and I can jeopardize what and whom I like, thank you very much. I'll make the tea myself. I'm so sorry about that, Dave. Would you like a macaroon?
Oh, I'd love a macaroon, thank you.
Excellent. Latimer made them this morning. This airship has a galley. Now, in my invitation, I asked you to bring a curio with you. What have you decided to bring today?
Well, I've brought along with me this rather square, black, plastic computer. It's a Sinclair ZX81.
A computer, you say?
Yes, a calculating machine from the 80s.
I'm assuming you mean the 1980s rather than the 1880s.
I do mean the 1980s. It was my very first home computer.
Goodness me. And you've kept it all this time?
I have. Well, it's the machine that started me out. I actually, before I began working on SFX magazine and writing about science fiction, which is a hobby of mine, I was a computer journalist, and that love of computers and machines began back in 1981, where my parents acquired this very first computer. This device is responsible for me being in the business of making magazines altogether.
Fantastic. And this computer, I'm afraid it's a little bit before my computing experience. My first experience of a computer was a Commodore 64 that my neighbour owned.
I had a ZX Spectrum after my 1980 ZX81 computer, and the Spectrum and the Commodore 64 were deadly rivals.
Ah, were they? I only visited his house and saw it there, and I was incredibly impressed when he made it print my name across the screen. And I look back at that and think, oh, goodness me, I was easily impressed. So you're now obviously not a computer journalist. You're the editor-in-chief of the wonderful SFX magazine. So the first thing I'd like to know is how many people you had to murder in order to become editor-in-chief.
Well, just the one. You have to murder the person who has the job before you. It's like the chain of command in the Star Trek Mirror universe. You just have to take down the captain. So so Dave Golder, unfortunately, got a dagger in his back in 2005, and I took over from there, which has gone by very quickly. So that's been 8 years and just over 100 issues. And fortunately, no one stabbed me in the back since.
But now you've said that, you'll have to be looking over your shoulder all of the time.
I do have to watch out for that Richard Edwards. He has a kind of slightly murderous glint in his eye some mornings, but that might just be the office coffee.
But I understand that a certain Mr. Gaiman has been the editor of this month's issue. Perhaps he's a new threat.
That's absolutely right. The latest issue of SFX is on sale this week, and it's issue 236. And we invited Neil Gaiman, author and screenwriter, and famous to many for his novels and comics and Doctor Who episodes and films. And he joined us in our office, and he guest edited the issue of the magazine, which he's written the introduction that I usually write, and he's made some decisions about which author to interview, and he's written a piece for the back page reminiscing about one of his favourite films. So I'd like to say that I had a slightly easier month, but of course there was he still made me do plenty of chores around the office while he was there. So it had guest edited by Neil Gaiman.
Did that feel very strange?
It was a fantastic experience to have him in. Relinquishing control, even for one issue, yes, as a control freak it was difficult to do, but to someone as esteemed as Neil Gaiman, one feels that it's in good hands.
And he's a lovely bloke as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely smashing, and it's so enthusiastic. He wanted to tell us all about his Doctor Who episode when he came in that hadn't just yet broadcast, and he was obviously very excited about it, and he wanted to talk about so many of his projects that he's working on now, and his new book that's out that we've just reviewed in this recent issue as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely, and so you can tell that he's just so excited about all the things he's working on, and he is a lovely fella, and he was very kind of humble, I guess. He came into the office, and you know there was a few of us, but it's quite a big building, SFX Towers, and he had to walk through several other magazines on the way, and this sort of kind of trail of tweets from people and sort of mutters of people as people recognised him followed him into the office, but he very humbly ignored that and just got on with the task of editing the magazine.
Well, that's what I mean. You know that you've become famous, isn't it? That you leave tweets in your wake wherever you go.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I don't know if you're in the same offices that I visited a few months ago, because I think you may have moved, but when I was there, I was amazed by how everyone's desks were covered in all sorts of wonderful things. It was like geek heaven. And as I passed one of the desks, I made a slight squee noise when I saw a Captain America mouse pad, which was very kindly gifted to me.
Yeah, brilliant.
I wanted to know what the best freebie is that you've ever got, because I understand this is something that is prevalent in the industry, to send things to people to get them excited.
Yes, we do get sort of promotional freebies and through sometimes just a small sort of small curios that come with when a film is released or something. In fact, we also make some ourselves as well for various magazines. Comic Heroes magazines comes with cover mounted gifts, and we create badges and things for that. I also am very fortunate in my role in the magazine. I get sent a lot of books to read and review as well, so I'm never short of reading material. But in terms of kind of sort of trinkets that I've been sent, I'm just trying to think what springs to mind. I've been sent we've been sent some odd things. We recently got a pack of blood, like it was in a like you might find in a hospital, a kind of a
Ooh.
A blood bag, but actually it contained wine. It contained red wine, which was a very nice treat. I got sent a lighter, like a Zippo cigarette lighter once, which was to promote a game, Call of Duty, which is a very popular game. But when I turned it over, it actually had my name on the back as a General David Bradley, which is quite a nice touch, I thought.
Ah, that's smooth. I like that.
Yeah. Yes, I got sent some loaded dice, which is a bit odd. So if you ever catch me trying to gamble with dice, and I've offered to bring my own, they were loaded promotional dice.
I don't think you'll ever be able to pull the wool over anyone's eyes now that you've said that in the public domain. So have you seen any good films lately?
Oh, wow. Yes, I have, absolutely. There have been so many good films on at the cinema this year so far. I thought Iron Man 3 was amazing and was the best of the three, and so much fun. And I thought that was a fantastic piece of writing and directing by Shane Black. And Robert Downey Jr. is just amazing. Oh. He makes Tony Stark as important as Iron Man. And the fact that he spends half the film out of the suit is, and he can still carry it as a superhero is amazing. And also Star Trek, the new Star Trek film.
I'm afraid we can't talk about the new Star Trek film. Not here. No.
Fear of spoilers?
No, not fear of spoilers. It just doesn't agree with me. It's like certain kinds of wine. It unsettles my stomach, so I'm afraid we can't talk about that. But Iron Man 3, I have to agree, he is so very gorgeous as Tony Stark. But I only had two minor quibbles about the film. One was that there was no mention of where all of the others were after the team had been established in Avengers Assemble.
Yes.
And the whole time I was thinking, especially the point where, spoilers, put your teacups over your ears if you don't want to hear this. There was a point where the president was obviously in extreme peril, and nobody else came to help Tony. And I was thinking the whole time, surely S.H.I.E.L.D. would get involved here. And the other quibble, which is a bit more major for me, but I still adored the film, was the fact that Pepper was kind of relegated to just being the thing to be rescued, and that there was a business meeting, but there was all of this kind of sexual stuff, the sexual undertones, like, you know, women can't be involved in business meetings without being attracted to the person they're talking to. That really irritated me. But other than that, I thought it was wonderful, and I liked the whole post-traumatic stress disorder stuff.
Yes, and they kind of coyly refer to the incidents that happened in the Avengers film as just New York, in inverted commas. So you're right, they don't even refer to it at all. Pepper gets a little bit of an opportunity to take the lead when, again, spoilers, when she dons the armour briefly in an early encounter where she saves people in the house and Tony. But I do know what you mean. The thing about the expanded Marvel Universe, it is very odd, and how they don't contradict each other, but they don't ever refer to the activities in other films. As you're right, the Avengers group. What I found quite odd in Avengers was that the aliens attack New York, and where's Spider-Man? he's New York's defender, isn't he?
That's true. It just needed just one line, like, or just a text from Nick Fury saying, "I'm sorry, mate, I'm a bit busy." Now, you'll have to save the president by yourself. And that would have satisfied me. And it was made extra strange by the fact, spoilers, teacups, that right at the end, there's the gorgeous after-credits scene with Mr. Ruffalo.
Yes, Bruce Banner. Yes,
and I loved that. And I was thinking, okay, so he's there to be a poor therapist, but not to help save the President of the United States. But, you know, okay, that's fine. I still really enjoyed it.
It starts to make you wonder whether all the events of Iron Man 3 are just a tall tale told by Tony Stark to Bruce Banner.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that would explain it.
That would explain all the inconsistencies. But actually, while you mentioned it, I thought the end credits to Iron Man were amazing. They were like a Saturday afternoon TV show. The piece of rousing music, I think it's called Can You Dig It, it's just from the score, but with those very stylized credits. Even if there hadn't been an after-credit scene, I think it's worth sticking around just to see the way the film ends, because it's really stylish.
Yeah, absolutely, and very different. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. So, as I want to do, I go onto the Twitters, and I ask people if there's anything that they would like to ask my guest. And when I asked with regards to you, I had lots of really, really good questions, and I really had to choose carefully. But there was one that I was thinking about asking already, which is 2D or 3D?
Well, I'm on the record of saying that I enjoy 3D. And in fact, personally, if a film is available in both, the reports are that it's been a bit of a shonky post-production 3D. Unless that's the case, I'll usually choose to see it in 3D. I think it's just another tool in the filmmaker's filmmaker's arsenal for you know, cinema is a visual medium, and there's some fantastically well done 3D in films like Hugo last year. It's really understated, but it gives it loads of depth. And you know, I think Dread was great in 3D, but also of course we found Avatar. Oz the Great and the Powerful is great in 3D. So I do appreciate that it's a little bit more expensive, and that not everyone can see it. And I totally understand that. So many people can't, and that is frustrating. But I can, and I enjoy it. It doesn't give me a headache, and I like when it's done well, when it's actually filmed with the technique in mind. I do enjoy it. So I apologise to all those who prefer 2D, but I would typically choose to see a film.
You're very lucky. I'm quite envious of these people. It just gives me a raging headache and looks a little bit blurred.
Yes, and that's true of many people. When the SFX team all went out to see Star Trek together, and we settled on 2D because a large number of people on the team either don't enjoy the experience or just can't see it and it gives them a headache. So, and you paying extra for a raging headache is no pleasure at all. So of course we had to see it in 2D. So no, I appreciate that. I'm very pleased.
Yes, it's true. One of my worst 3D experiences was going to see Immortals, and not just because it really did fall down on so many counts, but I was really upset that there was Henry Cavill, who's very, very, very pretty, and I had a headache at the same time, and it just seemed so bad and wrong and desperately unfair. So yes, I'm very envious of you. Now, there was something that cropped up today that I rather enjoyed reading, and it was a blog post by a friend of mine called Jennifer Williams, who I prefer to call Senny Dreadful, because that's how I know her on the Twitters, and you may well know her as well. She wrote an interesting post about whether there should be a female Doctor Who, and I thought, oh, I'll have to ask Dave about that. Dare I tempt you into the minefield that is opinions on Doctor Who?
Oh, well, my background is that I wouldn't consider myself a hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Whovian in the way that many of my friends are. I love Doctor Who, and I'm familiar with it from my youth, but it's not a fandom that I'm part of. So perhaps that remove means that I'm less precious about the lore of it, the continuity of it, or whatever. So I think a female Doctor would be entirely achievable. I think someone will probably contradict me and say that Time Lords always stay the same gender or something. I'm afraid I don't know the mechanics of it, but I don't see a problem with that at all. I think if you find the right person to play the role, I think anyone could be the Doctor, and I think that's kind of the joy of the Doctor for me. He or she could be any person, or you know, age or character or temperament or you know, or ability or appearance. So I don't see why not.
Hooray! Yes, excellent. Well, the macaroons have almost gone and the teapot is empty. It's been an absolute delight to have you here today, Dave.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Latimer will show you the way out. I'm afraid it may involve a parachute.
Oh, really? There's no sort of shuttle to the surface?
I'm afraid not, no. But you'll be fine, won't you?
Why not? Yes, a parachute. It looks very safe, I'm sure.
Marvellous. Excellent. Thank you for being such a sporting fellow. Do take care on your way down.
Thank you. We'll go.
Bye.
Bye.
This way, sir. I'll open the door, count to three, and then you jump.
Okay.
One, two, three, jump, sir. Sir? It's time to jump. Sir? Oh, for heaven's sake.
Geronimo!
He seemed a little nervous, Latimer. Do you think he'll be all right?
He needed some encouragement, ma'am, but he's falling very nicely now.
Shouldn't his parachute be deployed as soon as he clears the ship?
Yes, ma'am. I do hope there isn't a technical problem.
You did check the parachute, didn't you, Latimer? It was rather old.
Macaroon, ma'am?
No, thank you. Oh, there it is. Thank goodness. I wouldn't want the next issue of SFX to be late. But now he's heading straight for those treetops. He's going to crash into them. Oh, he just made it over the top.
Just in time to hit that tractor.
No, he's just missed the tractor, but he's going to be sprayed with silage if... Oh, he lifted his legs just in time. Good show, Dave.
He'll land in the next field.
Where those balls are?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear. They're going to trample him. What has he pulled out of his pocket?
I believe that's Bull Begone spray.
Heavens! One whiff of it, and the bulls are running away from him now.
Yes, Mum. It's marvellous stuff. And only 2 shillings. From the right source, of course.
Shillings? How old are you, Latimer?
Of course, it's banned in all but 7 countries. And I have it on good authority that none of those countries have problems with bulls. Nor door-to-door salesmen, for that matter.
I don't suppose you know where to get some, do you, Latimer?
I'll add it to the shopping list, Mum.
And we need a new robot butler. Mal 1000 is useless.
I never liked the thought of it anyway, Mum.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining the lucky Mr. Bradley and I today. The next time we take tea together, we'll be joined by Karina Cooper, author of steampunk novels with a soupçon of romance. Last week I asked for advice on the gentleman who came out of the phone box wearing his brightly coloured underpants over his trousers. I wanted to know if this was a new fashion or a mistake I should make him aware of to avoid any future embarrassment. I'd like to raise my teacup in respect to Fee Phillips, who reminded me that whether it is fashionable or an error is actually irrelevant when it comes to good manners. She advised that it would be the most polite to avert one's eyes and pretend that everything is normal. After all, we all have wardrobe malfunctions on occasion. I couldn't agree more, Fee, and besides, he's rather dashing and does look good in his bizarre outfit. Before we say our goodbyes, I'd like to ask for some advice on behalf of a friend. She's currently being hunted by a time-travelling cyborg from the future, which is most inconvenient. I suggested luring the thing into a steel factory in the hope it could be melted, but alas, there is a terrible lack of such facilities in the UK these days. Dear listeners, do you have any suggestions? It's playing havoc with our book club scheduling, as she has to remain in hiding. All suggestions are welcome, particularly the outlandish and comedic. Do be dears, and leave your answers at www.tnjeopardy.com. I'll pick the best one and share it with you the next time we take tea. Latimer, I'm afraid this airship won't do as a tea lair. Please find a new one, preferably one which is situated in an established property.
Very good, Mum.
You've just listened to an episode of TN's Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman. Go to www.tnjeopardy.com to find out more and join in.